Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks for joining us this December weekend. On today's show, film critic Leonard Maltin will rejoin us, as he does every few months. This time, we're going to talk about the business of King Kong. Some hot toys for the holidays as well on tap this show, and our game of size and substance, which is bigger. But to kick things off, it is December, and as 2005 winds down, we wanted to take a look back at some of the big stories from the year that was, and this will be an economical look because we're joined by Fool Radio economics contributor Charlie Whelan, author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. He joins us from the NPR Bureau in Chicago. Charlie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Happy end of the year to you, by the way.
Exactly. Looking forward to the holidays, wrapping up what's come past.
And Charlie, you've identified, I know, your top three economic stories of the year, I think it's fair to say. We should preface this by saying we're talking macroeconomic. That means big picture stories. And on that note, let's begin our countdown. Charlie, what is the third biggest economic story of the year?
Well, let me actually preface it by saying that on the whole, it wasn't a bad year. As I sat down to kind of wade through the stories that might make the top list, I was struck by years past how some of them were really quite devastating. We didn't have an Enron, we didn't have a high-tech bubble, we didn't have a 9/11. So we had a lot of things to wrestle with, and we'll talk about some of those. But by and large, it wasn't a bad year.
Now, hold on, Charlie, we have a real estate bubble. It just hasn't popped yet.
Well, we'll get to that. That might be next year. And what's interesting about the three, and I'll get into that in a second, is that each one of them, I thought, was a big story in 2005. Each one of them is still alive and kicking in 2006. All of them are relevant going forward, things to watch.
Excellent.
So that also factored in. So number three, what I thought was the third biggest story on the economics front of the year was the appointment of Ben Bernanke as the new Fed chief.
And why is that such a big deal, Charlie?
Well, as you know, for us, it's devastating to lose Alan Greenspan because our whole "what did the Fed chief say" game has become so easy that it's all about giving out prizes. So despite that personal setback here on the Fool front, I think the Greenspan era was so long and he so dominated that institution and did it so well that, you know, for the past 5-6 years, there had been this concern about what happens in the post-Greenspan era. John McCain had that comment during the presidential election that someone asked him what would happen if Greenspan died. He said, "I'd prop him up and put sunglasses on him," which I think epitomized a lot of the sentiment, obviously in a tasteless way, that this was a person who was very hard to replace. And I think it's a significant story because Bernanke seems to have pleased most folks. It's not politically contentious, especially compared to the Supreme Court battles that we've seen. It seems to have pleased the markets, and the confirmation seems like it's going to be a dream. It's still significant going forward in 2006 because we don't know how he's going to perform, but I think it's safe to say as a first step that we have found somebody that is at least credible as an Alan Greenspan replacement.
Mm. And let's hope that one of the top three stories of 2006 is that Bernanke's doing a great job.
We'd like to see that. The jury's still out, as you know. It's as much art as science, and that was what both Greenspan and Volcker before him did so well.
And Charlie, just before we go to story number two, let me ask you, how much do you think the Fed chief is in control of things? I mean, can you be a really good Fed chief and just be faced with 5 years of horrible events and so it doesn't actually reflect on you? Or would that be a real failing because the Fed chief should be taking meaningful actions to improve or help our economy? And darn it, if it was 5 bad years, that means it was a bad Fed chief.
I think the latter is more accurate, that if you look at some of the stuff that came across Alan Greenspan's plate from the 87 stock market collapse, the Asian financial crisis, some of the big financial Enron collapse, the subsequent impact on trading, I mean, these things seem to be discrete events that did not radiate out through the rest of the financial markets as they might have if there were less confidence. So I think the Fed chief is there, 9/11 being probably the most extreme example of something that could have had a much more tumultuous impact. But he was there feeding liquidity to the economy, also just a presence that made people feel more comfortable. And so I think the Fed chief actually has a profound role, especially when you're dealt a bad hand.
And now, Charlie Whelan, the number two economic story of the year.
I've got sustained high energy prices, and I think the degree to which this is a big story will matter a lot in 2006. This can go one of two ways. It can either take care of itself and prices continue to drift back down and we forget it, like we've done with some of the past run-ups, in which case it was a big story in 2005, lots of hand-wringing over $3 a gallon gas, but not a sustained and impactful story. Or we can see the beginning of a period where oil prices are high and perhaps still rising. And if that is the case, then I think it has a profound impact, not just on pocketbook issues, which we saw last year, but on the way we live our lives, on the way we do business, on the way factories operate and so on, even how far we commute, how we commute, where we live, what size our houses are. I don't know that we've really got our minds wrapped around how different life would be if energy prices stay where they are or continue to inch upward.
Charlie, to what extent do you think hurricanes played into those high prices?
That's something that we'll have to see. We know that there were supply disruptions. We know the supply chain was already maxed out before we had Hurricane Katrina, and that disrupted all kinds of New Orleans capacity and so on. I don't know that we've sorted out whether there is a secular long-term trend up or whether we just had a bunch of things, everything from Hugo Chavez in Venezuela to Iraq to Katrina, that temporarily pushed things up. And that's what we're going to have to sort out going forward. But we have lived basically for 50 years with taking low oil prices, low energy prices for granted, and we've built a lifestyle around that, everything from kind of sprawling land use to big houses, big cars, and so on. And that's affordable given the oil prices we've had. It's not affordable going forward. So I think there could be a real disruption to all aspects of our lives if we see sustained high prices or rising prices.
Mm. Okay, now drum roll, please. Because Charlie Whelan, author of Naked Economics, I want to know, what do you regard as the biggest economic story of 2005?
I know that you're waiting for the housing bubble, and it's not that. I will back into it. My number one story, and I could be completely wrong, we could forget this by February. My number one story is the United States is a debtor nation. And by that, I mean both consumers.
Now, wait, did you say debtor or debtor? Because I think if we reran the tape, it sounded a lot like debtor nation.
Debtor with an O-R at the end. And I'm speaking both of consumers taking on high levels of debt and the United States government being a huge net borrower from abroad. And neither of those things on their own is inherently bad. Both of them are somewhat precarious. This is why it's yet the third story that going into 2006 is very serious. Now, I will weave in through the back door the housing bubble, and I think the way in which the housing bubble becomes particularly dangerous is through the debt. And basically, if your housing price corrects by 15% and you've got 40% equity, then you're fine. You're not particularly happy, but this is not a catastrophe. If you are involved in one of these new mortgages, you've got no equity or 2% equity and housing prices correct 8 or 10%, or you've borrowed heavily on the equity you've got and you've borrowed more than that, then you're in deep trouble if prices correct. So I think the combination of a precarious housing market with a lot of consumer debt is very dangerous on the consumer front.
How significant do you find the U.S. being a debtor nation and the likelihood, I think it's probably fair to say the probability now, that the housing market will get knocked down here in the next 0 to 24 months? How significant is that going to play into the themes of 2006?
I think it's quite significant. The last time I had this feeling that there are trends that just can't go on was during the high-tech era, when you basically looked at companies that weren't making money and you compared that to their stock price and said basically there has to be a connection between the value of owning a share of this company and whether they're making money or not. And the prices kept going up. And, obviously it wasn't alone. A lot of folks at the time, though not enough, were saying this just is not sustainable. And I think on the debt side, the same is true. The housing market is not sustainable, at least certainly not the increases we've seen. The level of debt is not sustainable because you can't have a zero savings rate forever. People have to set aside money for investment and what lies ahead in the future. And then last, to make up for that, it's not sustainable to borrow indefinitely from the rest of the world because it makes you vulnerable. If for some reason they decide they want to stop buying U.S. Treasury bonds, then that really rocks our financial world.
Mm. Charlie Whelan is the author of Naked Economics. He is also this show's economics contributor. Charlie, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Well, thank you, and all the best for 2006.